This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to West Coast Bias. I'm your host, Jake Merrifield. I'm joined by my good friend, Jamal, at ChampsWaba1015. Jamal, how are you doing?
From now on, I'd like to introduced as award-winning Substack writer.
That's right.
Because I'm just assuming that our first article is an
award. WBWestCoastBias.substack.com.
Yes.
And actually, I think that WestCoastBias.substack.com is also under my control somehow, but I lost the credentials for it, so I don't know where that is.
Well, at least you haven't, because the...
But you published your article to WB.
Yes.
WestCoastBias.substack.com.
Yes.
And it's called...
As far back as I can remember.
I always wanted to, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a nice Goodfellas reference. Good job, Jamal. And so, yeah, you can read that on Substack. Please go seek that out. We also tweeted out, so on the West Coast, WB West Coast Bias Twitter, at WB West Coast Bias. You can see that. And, of course, this is West Coast Bias, part of the What's Brewing Show Network. A bunch of great shows on one great feed. And Jamal here, he's the bias of the West Coast,
yes.
Right? So, Jamal, we're almost at the end of baseball season.
Yeah.
How many more games? One, two?
Two.
How surprised are you that the Braves swept the Mets?
Oh.
And ended up now...
with the driver's seat.
On the opposite side of the bracket, basically, for the Dodgers. What are your feelings about that?
I am very surprised because they had to beat Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer, the two top starting pitchers for the Mets, in order to even get a chance to sweep them, and they did.
Wowza.
Yeah. And Kenley Jansen...
Did I tell you when I was in Oakland... they were playing the Mets. We almost went to an Oakland Mets game. We almost went.
You could have gotten tickets behind home plate for $10.
I was trying to convince the girls, and they were like, "Yeah, they were like, not sold on the idea. So maybe we'll go next year." But seriously, the hotel was filled with Mets fans, and I'm like, "This is bizarre."
It's one of the easiest tickets you can get.
Well, yeah, but still, Mets fans, end of the year in Oakland. I guess they're here to see the Bay Area.
Yeah,
why not?
They probably were like, "Let's go."
There was a lot of them.
Golden Gate Bridge.
They're all staying at the convention center. But anyways, and they were super duper annoying.
I love that you stayed there because that's where I stayed the first time I visited Cal. Me and my mom, she had points.
Yeah.
And we stayed there. And then when I graduated, all my family stayed there. And that's where I had my graduation dinner, was at that convention center hotel.
Yeah. And if perchance you don't know, my daughter's going to Berkeley. She's part of the Bare Minimum, another podcast we do on this feed. But yeah, we went up to Oakland to visit her a couple weekends ago and stayed at the Oakland Marriott City Center.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah,
highly
it's
recommend.
A great place.
Anyways, back to the Braves being the, opposite the Dodgers in the pool, and that means that the Dodgers might draw the Mets.
The Mets.
Likely now.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, the Mets would play the Padres, it's looking like. So they would beat each other up. All three games would be in New York because the Mets would be the higher seed as the best wild card team.
Wait a second. That's the way the playoffs work?
Yep. So the opening round is a three-game series. The teams that with the better records get to host all three games.
That's insane-o.
Yeah.
So why? What's the hurry?
Well, for one... It's more really comes down to more teams being in the playoffs, but it's more revenue. Extra games mean more revenue, mean you can sell it off. Because before, remember, it was just one game, a wild card game, two teams.
No, but if I was a season ticket holder for the Padres, first of all, our narrowly avoiding suicide,
right.
I would be pretty fucking pissed if I made the playoffs. And then they were all on the road. That's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they win, then you get the chance of seeing at least one game in the next round.
Yeah, that's fucking
horseshit. Well, you got to have the better record. That's what everybody would say.
Stupid. That's just stupid.
Is
baseball going broke? They can't afford the travel? Is this 1980s NBA?
No, I mean, they're basically saying now wild card teams have real no advantage. I mean, it's the same way.
And by the way, this is a slight improvement over the suicide game,
yeah.
Which is even worse.
Yeah, where you had no chance. I mean, the Cardinals fans last year thought,
dumb as hell.
We're happy their team got to the postseason, but we're probably mad they didn't get to watch any games. So, because they just lost one game and that was it. So, Yeah, so after that, so the format, the wild card series, yeah, it's three games at home for the top seeded team. So we know for sure it's been laid out in the National League. The Braves and the Padres are the teams playing for a right to play the Dodgers in the best of five NLDS. The Dodgers have 5 days off from the end of the season. The Padres will have to go to Mets. Mets and Padres. Because the Braves won the NL East, so they're the second seeded team in this playoff format. So the Padres have to go to New York, beat the Mets 2 out of 3 games, and then possibility that they play the Dodgers in the NLDS, the best of five, or it's going to be the Mets and Dodgers in the NLDS. Both teams, the Dodgers have played recently in the playoffs. The Dodgers lost to the Mets in 5 in 2015, and of course the Dodgers beat the Padres in a sweep back in 2020 on the way of winning the World Series.
So at the end of the day, who do you think they should play?
There's pros and cons in both, and I hate those kind of answers. But if you're talking about the Padres, the Dodgers have beaten the Padres up the last 2 years. They won the series this year. I forget the numbers, but something. They only lost the Padres 4 times. And they just recently beat them in San Diego 2 out of 3 and in L.A. 2 out of 3. There's familiarity there. There's less travel. The Dodgers don't have to get on a flight. If they play them in the best of five, it's just a bus ride up and down the five freeway. Playing New York is a little bit more dangerous. One is the travel. Two, you're going to have to beat DeGrom or Max Scherzer at least once to win the series. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you get to the bullpen in one of those games. But you really don't want to tempt fate have to deal with one of those two guys. So, will the Padres series be easier? No, because I think the familiarity with these two teams will breed a close series. But I think the Mets are the more talented team. And they do have a dangerous lineup. You're talking about Francisco Lindor and, I always forget his name. But the Mets big, Pete Alonso, the Mets big basher. Those are dangerous guys in any lineup, and they're in the same lineup. I think both are in the tops in terms of RBI and home run. And Lindor, some people think, is an MVP candidate and is one of the reasons the Mets have had such a good season.
All right, so the Dodgers are, you know, right now they're trailing the Rockies 4-2. They tied the game up with a home run by
Joey Gallo.
But, you know, right now, you know, we're already in the eighth inning. They'll have another crack at it, two cracks at it. This is at Dodger Stadium, right? Yeah. What are your priority for these last couple of games, if anything? You know, is there anything, you know, before they start? And then you're going to be able to go to these games, huh?
Yeah. The priority is don't get hurt. Last year, everybody remembers Max Muncy got hurt in the last game of the season, their leading home run hitter, and lost for the postseason. Kershaw had gotten hurt that series, or had gotten re-injured trying to get ready for the postseason, so lost for the entire postseason. So health is the most important thing for the team. Game one for everybody in the LDS series is on the 11th, so a week from today. So more than likely the Dodgers will have that last game because they're on the West Coast. My plan is to be there for sure. I love being in a Dodger Stadium for a playoff game. It's a great atmosphere. And in terms of, I think the week off, they're going to have 5 days off waiting for their opponent, and I think that'll do them some good. One, the other teams have to use their frontline guys to win. It's a short series, 3 games. You just got to win two. You're going to have to use your best guys to win. So the Dodgers, for game one, are going to see a number three starter more than likely from both teams. Two, it gives guys to reset. Chris Taylor hasn't played these last few games because of injury, so it gives him a chance to reset. The guys who are struggling to hit, you know, we've seen the Dodgers struggle here. I think they're ranked somewhere in the lower 25 for most of your big hitting categories. You're talking slugging, OPS, runs in these last couple of weeks, which is not good. The game that I just went to on Friday, they went off for 10 runs, and that's probably been their whole week. You know, because they've been scoring one run here, one run there. They've been winning games, but they haven't been knocking the crap out of the ball. And their big guys like Mookie, Trey, and Freddie Freeman have struggled. So a week off, get them a chance to reset, work on the things that they need to work on in order to get ready for either the Mets or the Padres, I think is a good thing.
So, Jamal, going into this postseason, they're going to have the best record in Dodger history.
The ninth best record of all time, or something like that.
How imperative is World Series or winning World Series? Like, how big of a failure are they if they don't at least make it to the World Series?
You're talking to the wrong person, because I don't have any sort of perspective. You have to win the World Series. You know, there was an article Bill Plachke wrote about how fans should appreciate what they're seeing from this team, because it's a once in a lifetime. We're talking, you know, something that hasn't been done in 83 years in terms of the run differential, something that hasn't been done in 100 and something years in terms of wins in the National League. Those things, we should appreciate what we've been seeing. We should appreciate this run that they've been on, where they're a perennial contender. But that doesn't matter to most fans. They want to see rings. They want to see championships. The last, you know, other opposing fans get on the Dodgers by telling them that their last championship didn't count because of the circumstances, which is absurd, because it was the same for everyone. And people want to celebrate the greatness that the team is. In baseball, it's a lot harder. It's almost like hockey, where you can have a great regular season and you're done in a week because the opposing team's goalie stood on their head. Well, in baseball, you can be done in a week because your team just couldn't hit the way they were all season. Guys get into a funk, or your pitchers struggle, or they're injured, you know, that kind of thing, because of these short series. So it is imperative to me for them to win the World Series. You can't say you're one of the best teams of all time if you're winning all these games and you're not...
Got to have some trophies.
Yeah, you're not producing trophies. And we're talking World Series. They've won the National League three times already, but they've only got one World Series in a very strange circumstance.
Whatever, it's a World Series.
Right, it is, but I mean...
Whatever, Godfather.
The fans didn't get to experience it the way they should have. Yeah, you're right. The players didn't get to experience...
need another World Series.
Yeah, and the players need another one, in my opinion, because some of those guys didn't get to experience it the way they should have. You know, there was no locker room celebration. There was no craziness. There was all that talk about Justin Turner being on the field. Nobody knew what was going on with when he tested positive for COVID. All those things, you know, that can... can mire a memory and that kind of stuff. Empty state, you know, playing it in Texas, you know, only a few Dodger fans there because of the restrictions. That, you know, those are the things I'm talking about. Whether they win it on the road or at home, it would just be a different experience. And I'd love for the Dodgers to get that again. I'd love for Dave Roberts to get that again. I'd love for Andrew Friedman to, you know, be lauded as the architect of this greatness that we've had in these last few years. To be able to experience that again with a parade, with another trophy. So, yeah, they have to win the World Series.
Last question about the Dodgers is, as we go through this playoff run, I'm a guy who, you know, I become a baseball fan pretty late in life, right? But I'm very attached to these guys of this particular iteration of the Dodgers. And by that, I mean the guys that have been around for this kind of era. You know, you're talking about the JTs and the, you know, and Mookie's probably my favorite player of all time, because guess what? I've only been a baseball fan for a few years, and I love friggin' Mookie. Trey Turner. You know, those are the guys that are like the newer guys, but then, you know, your Chris Taylors and guys like that, Muncy and all that. Who do you think this is the last run for on this particular Dodger team? Who should we really appreciate because they ain't going to be there no more?
Clayton Kershaw. The injuries, I think, have become too much for him sometimes. He's in and out of the lineup.
So he gone.
Into the starting. I think so. I mean, he had renewed last year and it was just one season. I think if they win a championship, I think he'll retire.
Yeah.
Because he'll be.
And why not? I mean, you know,
he'll be able to go out on top. He's done everything he can do in baseball in this generation.
One of the greatest of all time.
One of the greatest of all time. Going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Best of his generation. He has won a World Series. He did really well in that World Series. I have no doubt that if he wins another one, I think that's enough for him to call it a career, because his body has broken down many times, and it's the wear and tear of the season. He's a family man. I just don't think we're going to see a lot of him, and that's who I'm rooting for the most, in terms of seeing him succeed again. And he's done well. He's come off the IR and he's gotten something. I think his ERA is down to like 125 or something. It's something ridiculous that a person his age with the wear and tear on his body shouldn't be doing. But it's giving me hope that this will be the fall that he puts it all together and he does, he gets as much praise as he deserves. when the last one happened. You know, it's not so valedictory as in, oh, Kershaw finally has a championship. It's like, no, Kershaw won a championship, and it was on the strength of his back that they were able to get it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And that's, I mean, is that the main headliner in that question?
Yeah, that's the one I want to see. Yeah, I'd like to see him go out there and just dominate an entire October. Like, we know he can, and he has done in some glimpses, even in 2020. And just for him to get sort of that, like, victory ride.
All right, well, let's go. Let's go. Dodgers, win the World Series, please.
Please.
But you got to win
for
that
my
first
sanity.
Series first, for Jamal
yeah,
sanity.
For my sanity.
All right, well, turning to the NFL.
Yeah.
Last week, I was very worried about the Rams, and you were like, yeah, no, they're great. And then we were both kind of like, yeah, the Chargers, yeah, you know, whatever. They're just injury-prone, whatever. Chargers managed to bounce back. The Rams got just killed by the 49ers. The only thing, good thing that happened in that game was Bobby Wagner lit up that freaking guy, that streaker or whatever.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. That's a highlight of the game for me.
Don't run out in the field, morons.
Bottom line is both teams are 2-2. Chargers, you probably make the argument. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. What do you think of the Rams, first of all?
Well, the Rams are not as good as they were last year. I'm sorry. It's becoming pretty obvious.
Who's their best running back?
Who knows? I mean, I think it's Henderson, but he's not being used. He's not being used to effect.
Is the quarterback any good?
Is the quarterback?
Or is he just hurt?
I think the physical elements have gotten to
Can
him.
Can they protect that fool?
No, that's the other thing. The O-line is just falling apart. That's part of it. The O-line is falling apart. You know, they don't have enough weapons. There's too many times having to look to Cup to rescue him.
He's really good.
And he's great. He's
Tyler
still
Higbee
great.
Ain't bad.
Yeah, and Tyler Higbee stepped up a lot. But
other than that,
you need a running game. They don't have a running game. You need a running game. You don't have a running game. And that puts too much pressure on the defense. I'm sorry. It puts too much pressure on the defense. And the offense has to step up more. I think they'll right the ship a little bit here. I forget who they're playing. But it's certainly – oh, they got
Dallas.
But, yeah, but, you know, is it going to be Cooper Rush or is it going to be Dak? I'm not worried. Dallas is not a very good
Dallas,
team.
Dallas, Carolina, then San Francisco, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So they better make some hay in these next two games, because otherwise – I mean, they're looking at if they win the next two games, they're seriously – I mean, they host San Francisco, but at the very least you could go 0-2 in that stretch and they could be right back to 4-4.
Right, exactly.
You know, I think that – we look at Dallas. I think they're more potent than you're letting on, Jamal. That's a bigger task than.
I don't think they are. I don't think they were that good with Dak. Dak got hurt, and Cooper Rush is still able to. I mean, Cooper. It should. We've been seeing this all season. Guys getting hurt, quarterbacks, and the next guy can't step up. And Cooper Rush is somehow undefeated so far. But I think the freaking Rams should be able to beat them. I mean, they're basically mirror teams. Decent defense.
I think that's fair, but I don't think it's the Rams are ever going to win. It's kind of a toss-up.
No, but I think the Rams should win. I think this is a good enough team. This is a good enough team. The Rams are good enough to beat a team like Dallas.
Are they? That's the point. What about the Chargers?
I think yes.
Go Bolts.
And the Chargers, I mean, I think Herbert was a little bit healthier. I think that's what it comes down to. He was healthier than he was last week. Maybe he shouldn't have played last week.
That, yeah.
And he was healthier this week, and he was able to, and, you know, frankly, the Jags are a better team than anybody gives them credit for, especially on defense. He's healthier, and the Chargers looked really good. Who did they play? I'm sorry. I watched the game, too, and I'm drawing a blank on who
they beat the Texans.
They beat the Texans. Well, and then that's where I was going. That's the other thing. They beat the Texans. The Texans are not a very good team. They never are, it seemingly. But this week they got the Browns, who also are not a very good team.
But it was at the Texans.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
They're going to go at the Browns.
The Browns. But I think the Chargers are good enough to beat the Browns. You know, Austin Eckler went off. That's great. Again, Keenan Allen is unreliable. Thank you for just ruining – just my fantasy team is just crapped, and part of it is relying on Keenan Allen. Kamara. Yeah, just great. Great on paper, terrible in the stats.
Snap call. Should I trade injured or should I trade Zeke for an injured Alvin Kamara?
No. Because Zeke will probably have more games than Kamara, just the way he is. Zeke might be bad, but, you know, down the stretch, he'd probably still creep over 1,000 yards. I don't know if Kamara will even get, you know, I don't know. We'll even get 200 rushing attempts.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, no, I think the Chargers going to the Browns. I think the Chargers are better than the Browns. I think another week of Herbert being healthier. I think if, you know, obviously Bosa's out, Rashawn Slater's out on the line. But, you know, they might get Parham back, so helping out on the defense. But, like, guys like Clowney, Taven Bryan, Miles Garrett, they're all on the defensive side for the Browns and all questionable for this game. I think they're strong enough to beat a Jacoby Brissett Brown-led team, even in Cleveland, with Herbert still being banged up, but I think serviceable. There's no, if they lose that game, then that's it for the Chargers this season.
You say that, but then they have the Broncos and the Seahawks at home and then at the Falcons. I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like they got these four games coming up, right? At a minimum, they have to be 2-2, considering that there's two road games there. Two road games to the East Coast. But, I mean, you know.
I just think, they have enough talent. I'm sorry. The Chargers have enough talent.
The Broncos have been struggling so bad. They just lost their main running back.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Who knows? Like, they might turn into a new team now that they're kind of forced to throw.
Right.
But
I guess that's the other thing. Yeah, you're right.
The AFC West sucks so bad
and the same
that they just tread water. They'll probably be okay.
And the same thing for the Rams, frankly. In the NFC West, I mean, they were able to go to Arizona and beat that team. Yes, the 49ers is their bugaboo, but we don't know what it's going to look like when they have to face the 49ers at home. And why do I always forget who the other team is? Oh, and Seahawks. And it's the Seahawks. So the Rams, I mean, I think that's the one saving grace from the mediocrity that we're seeing from the Rams and the Chargers. They're both in divisions that you're not really that worried about. So far.
Yeah, so far. I mean, they're going to have to. The problem is that it looks like the Chiefs are going to be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
So the Chargers need to get their shit in gear to challenge for a wild card.
Right. But they have enough to beat the Raiders. They have enough to beat the Broncos.
But the Rams, like you said, I mean, the Niners are just 2-2. Who knows if they're going to be able to sustain
right. What
they got going on. Jimmy's kind of up and down. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, the one team he can always beat, seemingly, except for the playoffs. Yeah. Is the Rams. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we kind of buried the lead because, oh my God, NBA action is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And they're back.
I forgot about that.
The Lakers lost 105-75 to the Sacramento Kings, but it wasn't all bad.
Right.
What'd you think about them being back out there on the hardwood?
I thought it was great. Anthony Davis, 2-for-4 from 3-point line. That's
11 and 11.
Yeah, that's a great sign. Westbrook is out there. He looked decent at times, not on defense, but on offense, doing the pick and roll, working with guys to get to the basket. A little friskier in offense than what we saw sometimes.
What did you think of all three of them playing together? Because they actually got a little bit of that this time.
Yeah, I think it worked.
They almost played more together in this one stupid preseason game than they did all of last season.
And I think it worked. They were leading at halftime with three of them out there, and
right? The
lead evaporated when they left. So I think it worked. I think they're going to have some chemistry out there. I think they have players capable enough. Is it enough to sustain a whole season? Is it enough to be...
will they have to
be in a playoff?
Will they have to trade Westbrook out of town?
Yeah. Will they have to? Yeah. All these. Anytime there's a leaked rumor about what trades they could have done or why they didn't do it,
it's so awkward too. Because Westbrook he's like wearing his Bruins sneakers out there, and they like have the press conference, all this stuff, and then as soon as that happens, they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna trade this fool or whatever. It's like, what are we doing?
It feels like it's one of those things where they're indicating that it can happen at any time, really. And they're just telling you, they're leaking this information to let you know that this is something that's always going to be, that's going to be in the works this year.
So are you making that trade?
Am I making that trade? Yes, but.
Buddy and Miles Turner?
Yes, but not
for Westbrook?
Yeah, not because I think they're going to win a championship, but I just think it's, you're getting rid of your big contract. It's going to be going away next year anyway.
But are they better?
I don't know. I think they're better than they were last year. Yeah.
No. Are they better if they have Buddy Yield and, and Miles Turner?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Hey, the Lakers only made 7 3-pointers last night. Buddy Hield can make 7 3-pointers in a game by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, two of them came from Anthony Davis. That should tell you something. I think they are. Miles Turner is a low post player on both offense and defense, and better than anything they have in the middle right now, in my opinion. And they're younger. They're younger than Westbrook, and they're younger in terms of age and in basketball terms. Westbrook's got a lot of mileage on him at an elite level. So, yeah.
Did you watch any of the Juan Toscano or the Pat Bev of that?
I just saw highlights, and Pat Bev looked good. He looked like a decent defender, and he looked like he knew what he was doing.
Feeling old?
Yeah, he didn't look old. He looked like he can get it. I don't know how that's going to translate in game one, in game 75 or game, you know, 65.
Had a nice little lob early.
Yeah. So he looked frisky out there. You know, Toscano Anderson, happy there's a Mexican out there. I hope he's more Mexican than Mexican. no, but you know what? To be honest with you, on some stuff, they looked better than they did last year, because sometimes it just looked like they were old and slow, and having so many younger guys, long guys, they looked a better team for sure. But at the same time, when the second half crew was out there, it did not look good in terms of stopping the ball, stopping the scoring, those kind of things. Those are the kind of things that I worry about, that when LeBron isn't out there, Anthony Davis isn't out there, who's going to step up and score? And can you stop the ball? And it didn't look like that. But again, it was first game of preseason.
Who's your favorite young guy out there?
Cole Swider?
Swider. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, from Syracuse/Purdue. He's supposed to be a nice shooting 3-and-D guy, young.
6'9".
6'9", yeah, exactly.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think it's going to be some development.
What about Scotty Mother Effing Pippen Jr.?
He looked like he was frisky out there, from what I understand, but we'll see about his shooting stroke. And I think he's going to need a little time in the G League in order to, I don't even know what to call it, the G League anymore, but down in the South Bay to get some real playing time, because he won't with the Lakers. I hope if Scotty Pippen Jr. is there with the Lakers at the beginning of the season, they're in trouble, because something's happened. And they need another body. I think he should be down developing his game. I feel better about Cole Swider. His game is a little bit more developed. And he, you know, if he gets hot, he might be hitting it from outside throughout most of the season.
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah.
I think it's probably fair. All right, Jamal. Well, do you got anything else you want to talk about?
No. Hey, next week I'll be at the Dodger game. So maybe the next podcast from us will be.
What's your record at Dodger games?
They've only lost twice.
Is it embarrassing?
No, 8-2. They've only lost twice since I've. Yeah, so first game of the playoffs, I plan on being there. I'm hoping my playoff record is not as good as my regular season record. I think they've only won, off the top of my head, they've only won three playoff games that I've been to. No, four. Four playoff games that I've gone to, but that also means I've seen them lose a playoff series. I was at that bad game one in 2014 where Kershaw was left to die.
Ick.
I saw the Mets beat them. I saw them my only World Series game of the Dodgers that I have gone to, I saw them lose that in extra innings. And, of course, it just got progressively worse in 2017. So I've seen a lot of bad losses in October at Dodger Stadium. So I'm hoping that they win next Tuesday and it's the start of a run to their next trophy.
Yeah, let's not have that. Sound good?
And as we mentioned before, read my article on how I became the bias in West Coast Bias on our West Coast Bias Substack.
That is very true.
And as we go along with this, the start of the postseason in baseball and the beginning of Kings Lakers, I will definitely be posting more articles on just all my thoughts that relate to LA sports.
All right. Well, that about does it for me then.
Yes.
Jamal, what do we say?
We're the West Coast. We're the best coast. We're West Coast Bias.
West Coast Bias.
We place a ball on the West Coast.